This is Doug Miller. Anyone out there care for a little religious mutilation? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue, and we are back again and privileged to be back to open this Word and to share with you via the radio waves. Marvelous thing to have technology, isn't it? To be able to reach out to people, and I might say a marvelous thing, but also a tremendous responsibility. And we are at all times aware of the fact that we are very responsible for what we say over these airwaves and what we do, and so we covet your prayers. I've said many times on here, we cannot go on without the prayers and support of those who have an interest in Dialogue Ministry, so please pray for us and write our names down on your little prayer list and tell others about us. And bring your Bibles. Come along. We are in the third chapter of Philippians today, and we'll get started in that just very presently here. Now, Dialogue Ministries is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization which exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out as far as we can get it out there. That's all we do if you're waiting for an encore. And, of course, I always say we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue Ministries, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We would also like to invite you to look in at our webpage, www.dialogueministries.org. And that Dialogue Ministries is all one word. And if you look at the webpage and say, well, it didn't amount to much, well, it's a work in progress, and we'll maybe get it a little fancier one of these days. Who knows? Now, I asked a question at the beginning of this broadcast, which might seem rather silly to you, and it sounded even kind of silly as I said it, because I'm going to assume that none of you out there is the least bit interested in religious mutilation. But you, if you don't know this, it is high time you knew and learned that there are a lot of people in the world out there who would not agree with you, who think that somehow God is pleased with their mutilating themselves in some way. Sounds kind of silly, and I don't mean to be offensive, but let's just take a look at what Paul says. Now, this third chapter of Philippians that we are going into is a powerful passage, particularly to this guy who is talking to you. In fact, the whole book of Philippians is to me. This has got a very special place in my heart. I know that all of you out there have parts of Scripture that have spoken to you, and you might say, this really is powerful to me. This is something the Lord has really communicated to me and has dealt with me on. And I know that, well, you're looking at something the Lord has really dealt with me on and about. And I don't know that we'll get to the particular part that I am talking about today. We might. But right now, let's just get into Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, as you know by now, this is not the only time Paul says rejoice in the Lord or uses the word rejoice. As I have told you before, I told you back when we first began looking at Philippians that the word rejoice or joy or or its equivalent occurs something like 40 times in this little letter, 39 or 40. Paul uses it over and over again, which is wonderful when you consider that he wrote it from a prison. He was in jail. If any of you who are out there listening to me are in prison right now, and you are saved through Christ Jesus, take heart, look up, rejoice. Paul was saved, and he was in prison, and he was rejoicing in the Lord. And he urges these brethren of his in Philippi to rejoice. And I think it's amazing when you think it's almost like it's backwards, isn't it? They should be encouraging him. He's encouraging them. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things he says to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. They need to be encouraged. They need to rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't care how often he has to repeat this. He says, it's no problem for me. I am doing this for you, and it's for your safety. Now, in verse 2, we get the verse that occasions the business about mutilation. Actually, it's an interesting word, and we'll see it when we come to it. In fact, let's just read it here. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now let's take a look at this second verse, because in this, Paul sweeps the whole thing up. There are, and you've probably heard me say this before on here, but there are basically three groups that are addressed in the whole of Scripture. And a part of rightly dividing the word of truth is to look at it and say, who is God talking to here? The three groups that he addresses are, first, Israel, or the Jews. Second, the Gentiles. Third, the Church of God. And we have all of them in these two verses here, don't we? First, we have the word dogs. Now, Paul is not warning these people in Philippi to watch out for, you know, dogs out in the street. Bulldogs, you know, Chihuahuas, Dachshunds, Collies, German Shepherds, Dobermans. That's not what he's doing here. I think most of you probably know and realize out here that this word dog is something that Jews typically applied to Gentiles. Back in the 22nd Psalm, you know, that marvelous psalm about the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus, through David, who was really functioning as a prophet at the time, talking about his own crucifixion, and I invite you to go back and read that for yourselves. He says, you know, that the dogs compassed him about. Well, he's not talking about the four-legged creatures. He's talking about the Gentiles. And I am persuaded that that's what Paul is doing here. He is warning these Philippians about Gentiles. Now, why warn them about Gentiles? They were themselves Gentiles. The reason is because the Gentiles, not the Church of God now, that's another group composed of both Jew and Gentile, but the Gentiles, these unsaved people who were surrounding the church at that time, and incidentally are surrounding the church today as well, they're all around us, they knew nothing about God. And believe me, if you say, well, I know people who aren't saved, but they sure know about God. Oh, no, they do not. They do not. Unless the Holy Spirit has opened their eyes and shown them the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and shown them our Lord Jesus Christ, they don't know anything about God. They can talk about God. They can use the term. They can use the words. But they don't know God, and they don't know about him. And Jesus Christ said back in the Gospel of John, this is salvation. This is salvation, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And these Gentiles, these unsaved people surrounding the church at Philippi and surrounding us today, know nothing about God. They don't know Jesus Christ. They have never had their eyes opened, and they are walking in darkness. Now, why would Paul warn these people to beware of them? Very simply, because not knowing God, they are in utter and absolute confusion. Now, if you want to go to school and take a course, let's say, in engineering from an unsaved Gentile, fine. He may know about engineering, and he probably does know, and he can teach you some things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something. When you have unsaved people who begin talking about God and teaching about God and how to get along with God and how to make things right with God and how to be right with God and on and on and on, and they don't even know God, you ought to beware of those kinds of people. And let me tell you, to be very blunt, our theological seminaries are full of them, and they are pumping graduates out of our seminaries into our churches by the hundreds, who are filling up the pulpits of the churches of Christendom, and many of them aren't even saved. Do I offend you? Good. Be offended. I remember the first time I became aware of this was in 1956, in the summer of 56, when Billy Graham came to this town to hold the first meetings he ever held here, right out at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. And I can remember being surprised at the preachers and priests and Sunday school teachers that started getting saved and saying, you know, I never understood what it was all about. Well, what are you doing up in that pulpit then? You've been to seminary. You know all about God. You know about the D documents and first and second Isaiah, the first Isaiah, and all of this nonsense that they teach you, and you come out unsaved and in darkness and stumbling around and trying to lead the flock of God. And Paul here lays it on the line. Beware of dogs. Beware of these Gentiles who don't know God. They can teach you nothing. They can do nothing for you. And I want to tell you, those of you who are listening to me, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You are in a church somewhere, sitting under the ministry somewhere, and week after week you go back there and you sit and you listen and you come away and you say, man, I mean, this guy, there's really nothing going on there. Well, why are you there? Well, you're probably there because maybe you grew up in that church or in that denomination or whatever. But if you have doubts about the salvation of the man who's standing up there preaching to you, you need to get out of there. Beware. Don't allow that individual to be some kind of spiritual guide to you. And if you're hearing me out there and you're listening to me and this strikes a chord with you, and maybe you're one of these individuals standing up in the pulpit, then you know yourself that you have never been saved. You'd better get saved, and you'd better get out of the situation that you are in until you know for certain that you are saved, because until you do, you're one of these dogs that Paul's talking about. All right, now that I've stepped on a bunch of toes out there, let me go on and step on some more toes. Here is where we get into the mutilating. Not only are these people in Philippi to beware of the dogs, but they are to beware of the, and here is the word, and the word is katatomein. Katatomein in Greek, and this is the only time that it is used in the New Testament, ergo in the entire Bible. Right here. It is translated in the King James language as concision. Katatomein suggests hacking something or mutilating something or cutting something up. Paul is talking here just as he has minced no words in dealing with the Gentiles. Now he's not going to mince any words on dealing with the Jews. Paul, as you've heard me say many times on here, was a man who was dogged by what he calls the circumcision, the Jewish party, individuals who were calling themselves Christians, saying they believed in Jesus Christ as Messiah, but were following Paul around and saying, here's a man who does not know what he's talking about. And he is out here telling you that you do not have to obey the Mosaic law. Let me tell you something. Paul knew exactly what he was talking about. And these Jewish proselytes who were trying to get these Gentiles to become Jews are the ones who didn't know what they were talking about. And the first thing that they wanted these guys to do, these Gentiles who had believed in Christ, was get circumcised. It was very important to them to be, and Paul minces no words about it, to be mutilated. Now, Paul, this is very unkind, perhaps, but really it's not. Really it is not. I want you at your own, pleasure and in your own time, go back and read the book of Galatians. We may go through that. We have gone through it before on Dialogue, but we may have to do that again. Go back and look in the 5th chapter of Galatians, where Paul talks about these individuals who are coming around telling these Gentiles that they have to be circumcised, have to be keeping the Sabbath, which was a Saturday, cannot be eating pork, cannot be eating unclean things, must keep the Ten Commandments. And Paul tells them, you want to get circumcised? Fine. But I want you to understand something. If you go that route, if you do that, you are making yourself a debtor to keep the whole law. You don't just kind of put yourself under the law. You want to go that route. You think God is pleased with you in that way? You better take a look at the whole law. And unless you are willing to do that, just stay away from it. And Paul is very clear on this, and he says it over and over again. Stay away from this. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That is Galatians 2:21, and you write it down and you look at it. Now, once again, I know that some of you are very upset by this, because you really think that you ought to be keeping the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount and all these rules and regulations, and a guy like me comes along and says it has nothing to do with us. And you, some of you, find that very offensive. Well, I want you to look again at what Paul says here. Beware of the mutilators. And that's exactly how he deals with it and how he treats it. Yes, circumcision was something that God gave to Israel. When did he give it to them? He gave it to Abraham, and he gave it to Abraham a long time after he justified Abraham by faith. Look at Paul's argument in Romans. And he gave it again, and God gave it again to Israel in the Mosaic law and said, here it is, keep it. And do this, and this was an outward sign in the flesh of the nation of Israel, and it's being set apart to God. Well, I am not of the nation of Israel. This guy talking to you is a Gentile of the Gaelic persuasion, Irish, if you must know, and German. And I am not a Jew. And I was saved by grace through faith, and I know and am persuaded by what Paul says that the law has nothing to do with me. And if you think that somehow you are being, what you are doing is pleasing God by keeping the law, fine. You mutilate yourself. Mutilate yourself and think that it's pleasing God, but know this. You're a debtor to keep the whole law, and you are not keeping it. There is no sacrifice going on nowadays. There is no priesthood in place. There is no one to do it. There is no high priest to go in with blood. And there is no Ark of the Covenant and no mercy seat to put the blood on. And the Shekinah glory departed from the temple a long time ago. And we are living in a different dispensation now, and it is the dispensation of grace. And grace is not works, and works are not grace. Beware of the mutilators and those who want to mutilate you and make some kind of show in the flesh. And beware of evil workers. You know, look at this. He kind of sandwiches that in between the Gentiles and the Jews, doesn't he? And the whole bunch are working evil. I'm telling you. And once again, if you're offended by this, the evil work is anyone who comes to you and preaches to you any gospel other than Paul's gospel. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He is at the right hand of God in glory, and salvation is by grace through believing that gospel. And believing the gospel changes us. It transforms us. We become reborn. And we are in Him. We are, look at verse 3 here, the circumcision. We are the circumcision. And here Paul does use circumcision, the word for circumcision. It is peritome, which means cutting around. We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. It is a spiritual thing he's talking about. And Paul, more than once, tells these Gentiles, do not go down that road. You are not Jewish. You have no reason to pretend that you're Jewish or to go that direction. You are Gentiles. You are saved by grace through faith. Now go on and live it. And I have said this before on here, and I will continue to say it as long as I can get an audience or anyone to listen to me. I have become so weary of those who think that I am up here preaching antinomianism. Just say that you're saved and go out there and live any way you want to. I am not preaching that. And in fact, to do that is to show that you have never been saved, that you are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that God is not doing a work in you at all. And if you are out there living just any old way you want to, you had better examine yourself and ask when and how you got saved. Because Christians who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit don't do that. Now let's go on and look at what Paul says about himself. We have very little time here. In fact, we are out of time. So here's what let's do. Let's save what Paul says about himself till next time. And in the meantime, I just want to wrap up by saying, you who are born again, you who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are indwelt by His Holy Spirit, you have an obligation to live before your fellow man in the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. You have an obligation to show this to the world around you and to show grace and holiness. Do it. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.